on this episode of Pottages.
And we have ulterior motives with what we want them to do based on our own preferences and what Digimon we want to come back to the franchise. Like, is Maki manipulating the kids to bring back the Digimon that was her favorite? Is that so different from us being so mad they didn't bring back the 02 kids? Think about that, audience.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, it's just like, adventure doesn't need this. Adventure was pure.
Your password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
I did this. Pages.
Welcome to Podigious, episode T6.1. Time to say good try again.
Digimon Adventure Try, Chapter 6. Our Future Q&A.
Recorded May 19th, 2018.
Podigious is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the resurrected semi-animated shell of the Digimon anime. I'm Ashley McDonald, and I am currently the new overlord of Podigious recordings, and I am joined by my boy toys, the dethroned Jeff Ruberg. That's Jeff Ruberg. Moving on. my other boy toy, Asher Sofman. And Asher Sofman's brother, Andrew Sofman.
Well, it's not like I'm doing this for you.
Oh, we're a harem now. Which one am I?
We're always a harem. Wait.
You're the twin brother, except we're not twins.
You just set yourself up as the tsundere, so what's left for me?
I mean, twins can be, there can be a tsundere twin.
Wait, shit, Jeff's sort of the childhood friend.
No. I'm the childhood friend in the sense that, like, in most harem anime or reverse harem anime, they're still in childhood when it's happening. You know what I mean? I'm not the childhood friend that, like, knew them from, like, since they were little kids. I'm, like, the one that, like, it's always, like, from the beginning, it was the one that everyone expected. And, like, clearly it's going to win out in the end because they're too scared to subvert that trope. Anyway!
What are we doing this week, Jeffrey?
This week, we're wrapping up our thoughts on The Last Try film, and we're going to do some listener-inspired discussions. So we're going to have three-word reviews, which we didn't read last time, and Patreon topics from our lovely Patreon, Andy and Emily, Andy Lusamon and Emelekmon, and also we have a bunch of Q&A to answer, which should be fun.
We're starting with three-word reviews, which I think are some mixture of reaction, question. They're just three words that came to your minds while you were watching this part of Try. I would not necessarily call all of them reviews, but it's what I'm trying to say.
And I did try to sort them into, like, logical groupings. So this will be a roller coaster as we go through.
A roller coaster. Yay. Well, Jeffrey, you're starting us off. Okay. According to colors.
So at Harley Quinn Yose said, I liked it. At Lijah 16 said, the best ever. Flame emoji. Okay. At freemium underscore Emily said, surprisingly satisfying ending. At Digimon Fan for Life said, thank you, Try. Happy face. See, I don't know if these emoticons or emoji count.
Do they count as words?
They're not words, so I guess it totally works. At Digimon Kaiser Inn said, ta much, Digimon. And finally, at Adventure Heart 5 said, brilliant season finale.
I have many feelings about all of those, but okay.
I wanted to start off with the positives.
The happy ones. The best ever, though? Okay. all right, now we're going into what is the theme of this one?
I don't know. Just do it. We don't need to inspect the theme of everyone.
At Grace of Aeon says, emotional, but why? At Neko Haruko, at Neko Haruko says, crying on brackets the floor, because the floor is two words, and that makes it four words. That's how math works.
I think they didn't actually provide the brackets, and I was like, I'm going to be generous and pretend the floor is one word.
Come on. At Perry Owl Ovo. I don't know. Cried a lot.
Does Ovo, is that like a
I never know. I could be wrong. I probably just embarrassed.
No, no. It looks like an owl face.
Blonde and Confused says, Baldette Dondon, cry emoji. Tutoman says, pain and suffering. At Serious BW Greymon.
I still love his username. My favorite. Yeah.
Says, hell of a ride, Dondon. At Chor... No. At Chororine says,
it's an efficient use of one letter.
It's the real expression of emotions, not words, just sounds.
Did I hear Andrew ask what Dondon was?
Yes.
So
what? Did you watch the movie?
No, oh my God. Dondon? I'm sure lots of people are having this question too. Dondon is the Japanese that is translated as ta much.
But don't they not? They don't translate it for the password, do they?
Yes, I'm like 99% sure they do. Yes.
I guess they do add up to both be 6-word letters or whatever.
Yeah. I guess. Oh, that would be confusing. Yeah, that would be tough if they had to get away with that. But I don't know. I don't think people are counting the dots that carefully.
Some of us do that, Jeff.
Some of us know what Dondon is. That's all I'm saying.
Asher. I just totally forgot.
At With The Will. Great. More win. At First Agent ARP. Powered through. Next. At Jared N. Jenkins. I want more. At Taikamiya 101 also said, I want more. In exactly the same tone. By which I mean they had exactly the same numbers of exclamation points, which was one each. And they also both use correct capitalization. I suspect they may be the same person.
We can't verify. They might just have the same face. They might have like stolen someone else's face, and they're all just identical faces. We can't verify that.
I'm surprised by First Agents being powered through next. That sounds more negative than I would have expected from him.
Having listened to his thoughts on... So First Agent ARP is Eric Pulver, who is also on the With the Will podcast, and their episode, which they released 2 weeks ago. He's not wholly, you know, like, he still had lots of nits to pick, as I recall, and definitely, like, it is messy in lots of parts, but is kind of, like, more forgiving of it as a whole and excited for the possibility of more. But yeah, I mean, I think generally he's in the camp of being more positive towards try in general.
Yeah, he's positive try camp in my mind.
People aren't just one camp or the other, Ashley.
Oh, that's what politics has taught me, though, and what try has taught me. Andrew.
At Grant Joey 456 says, needs more O2. And at Professor _ Jiggy said, 02 who?
Because he is Dr. Seuss in disguise.
One fish, two fish, 02, not in the movie fish.
Yeah.
At K Heart Z TV said, wings, wings, wings. And I don't fully understand that. I don't know if it's a reference or if it's...
It's two Omegamon's wings.
Yeah, Omegamon had wings, cool.
There were a lot of wings. I noticed that too. Kind of remind me of Gundam Wing. Like, why do all these things have wings? They could already fly.
I know, right?
Because it's cool.
It's kind of funny you say that, Ash, because Ash, in our Slack, in like the months before this movie came out, when we first saw the design of Omegamon Merciful Mode, I think it was Diego in our Patreon Slack, like, took his like Gundam Wing Gunpla figure and like took the wings off and put it on to Omegamon and was like, here, I made a merciful mode.
Yeah, accurate.
Continuing, okay. Lao PM said, friendship, courage, evolution. _ BBQ _ sauce said, great, but terrible. I guess this is the like mixed or I'm confused what they meant section. Crimson _AA said, well, it's over. At Mick Provenance said, well, that happened, .. At Golden Pelt said, tried their best. At Ancient Erismon said, it was okay. At Jackals 31 said, watch movies altogether. And they clarified that that's what they did, I guess, watching all the movies in a thing instead of watching Chapter 6 on its own, which sounds intriguing, but also like... such a huge marathon that it would scare me away.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I don't know, it's solid, like 4+ hours of trial together.
No, that's like 12 hours. No, wait, can't be 12 hours.
I'm not sure the runtime if
actually,
you cut
it
out
could
all
almost
the,
be 12 hours.
I don't think each one is plus is over 2 hours, if you like in movie format.
Each one is definitely not over 2 hours, even not in movie format. They are normally around an hour and a half. And if you
so cut that's out songs, like it's eight. Fine.
I don't know how math works.
Sure. The total numbers matter. It just seems very long. It would scare all of us.
I would say it's very long. It would get better for the first half and then go downhill for the second half.
Yeah. It reminds me of what I heard about a, I can't remember the details because I just heard about it on a podcast, but a, at least one movie theater was doing a, like, watch all of the Marvel movies leading up to Infinity War and like a 24 plus hour showing of all the movies. And apparently it was kind of hell.
I mean, it sounds like my personal hell. Like if somebody was like, I'll give you $1 million to sit here and watch Marvel movies for 24 hours, I'd have to be like, I don't know.
I mean, $1 million, Ashley?
It's almost 9 hours.
$1 million.
I did the math. It's almost 9 hours.
I want to double check that math. Anyway, apparently the number one problem with this 24 plus hour Marvel movie marathon was the smell, which makes sense when you think about it.
Lol. Humans are gross. Anyway, at Ginryu Maru. Nah, I wanted to say Mon. I definitely did. says, plot hole. And at Zasoru says, too many plot holes. This is the plot hole section. I see now. Tristan M says, plot holes everywhere. And Aviv Berry says, many unanswered questions.
Yeah, see, I don't know about plot holes. I think it's just like, yeah, dangling threads and unanswered questions.
Yeah, I feel like they try to cover up anything that you could be considered a plot hole with, you know, Digimon magic, but that's a different problem.
I feel like there were so many things where it's like, why is this happening? That's never answered, but there weren't any things that were like, this is how things work, and then something that contradicts that, because they just never explained how things fully worked enough
right.
for things to contradict that, yeah.
So you're just like, sure, that's how that would work. Why not? Like, thanks, Asher.
We have found the negative section. At Dorumiko, okay, but bad. At Just Starlet, it's still bad, period. At P96822, it really sucks. At Antonio Rand, it ended finally. At Lustful Lilith _, no more, please. At Corito Prime, did two. Gods, it's over. It's not over? That's !!!
I want to say, I don't totally condone people sending multiple three-word reviews. It kind of defeats the point of them being a three-word review. But I think this was the perfect one to be like, oh, finally it's over. Wait, what? It's not over? It reflects the duality of man/try.
Yeah, the duality.
All right, last one was also a double. Oh no, Nan. Wow, a mess. Thanks. I hate it. Oh no, there's no I. I read an I into it.
Yeah, you're just inserting four words where there are only.
I'm sorry. It says, thanks, hate it. The exclamation point in the middle confused my eyeballs.
Yeah, more try could happen.
No.
But 02 kids, Asher, maybe.
No, don't touch my kids.
Dark Ocean.
I'm sure we'll discuss the topic of more try.
Yes. Andrew.
At Gamer Aim said, is this real? At Coconut Fire said, why six movies? And at Lonely Distance said, why this though?
Why six movies that is clearly a series put into movies? Yes.
Oh, no. I feel like the concept of six movies, a series of movies, isn't inherently bad, but like,
they're not movies though.
It just feels like the particular like length and like amount of material, they feel like there's a mismatch. Like so much more could have been covered in six movies. Each movie felt like it was so much padding. The length of each movie felt like, why this long? Anyway, at Thundoge said, very, very disappointing. At Austi and Graham said, such a disappointed, which feels very try to me. At Cherub Pop said, next level disappointment. At Anime_brother said, so effing angry. And and I am, let me practice this a little bit, because I did practice a little bit. I think it's, I tried looking up to see, like, I tried looking up to see like if it was a common name in any kind of Hawaiian or something else, and I couldn't. It doesn't seem like it's common, at least. But I was guessing it was
Kealii Kaapuni.
Kealii Kaapuni. Okay, that's what I would have settled on after like an hour of trying, I think. Okay, and finally, at Kealii Kaapuni said, "Want a redo?
Want a reboot? Yes." Mine is purely at Andy Lusman TT writing. Seven things, and we'll allow this because they're a maker of Patrimon.
Okay, wait. It's not Andy. It's not Andy Lusman TT.
Oh, it's Andy Lucas because that's his real name. But in my heart,
wait, he's no, Andy here, his Twitter handle is Andy Lucas TT. Also, you just said Megger instead of Mega, and I'm like, I don't know why I find that so funny. Megger Digimon.
Megger, it's worthy of try. Yes. He's at, okay, you can find him on Twitter at Andy Lucas TT, but he's Andy Lusamon to me, and that's the important bit. Anyway, the seven are: 1, where's Daigo? 2, oh god, Daigo. 3, Genai is fun. False, that's just false.
4, no, I agree with it.
No. 4, no, Daigo, no. 5, that guitar riff.
That was a guitar riff?
6.
I think they were referring to the guitar version of Butterfly. I think that played.
Possibly. Seems vaguely familiar. 6. Finally, Meikumon feels. 7. What about Maki? What about Maki?
What indeed? About Maki?
What about Maki?
I don't know. Who's Maki? Yeah.
I feel bad because usually I'm attuned to things like emotional guitar riffs coming in, and like, I feel like tri music is usually pretty bad. So when it does do that well, usually I'm attuned to that, but I didn't even remember the score to the like climactic moments of this movie.
They played Butterfly like 12 times.
It's just Butterfly. This actually just plays throughout the whole film. It's just Butterfly.
Pretty much.
What is the point you're trying to Maki?
Reboot.
After reads things.
Yes. At Tokujo, why butt shots? Erba Yunrei, how much butt crackmon?
Yeah. Look at them sexy Digimon butts. No.
They weren't even sexy.
I know.
That is subjective. Sexy. That is subjective.
Whoa. If you think the cracks are sexy, blah. Okay. Patreon topics, which normally we'd put in our length episode, but time is hard, so we're putting it here. And I believe Jeff is very excited for this first one from Andy Lusamon, which is about chosen adults.
Yeah, I guess I'll just read the whole thing. Asher,
there's not really a point to not reading the whole thing.
I think Asher should read. Asher has the best voice.
Okay,
are we reading the whole thing?
Whole thing, Asher.
Even if I disagree with parts of it? All right.
Yes.
We are gathered here today to mourn the one true gogglehead, Daigo Nishijima. If I'm right, I'm presuming Daigo and Maki have their adventure in 1989 and are now in their mid to late 20s in 2005. They represent the kids that watched Digimon back in 1999 that are in their mid to late 20s watching Try Now in 2018. I think it's worth discussing what Digimon and the digital world mean to each of our chosen adults and what they are prepared to give to it in their adulthood. Maki was torn away from the digital world and Tapirmon in her youth, which only made her want it more, but regressing back into a childlike state for going Daigo, her boyfriend, to return back to her childhood. Digimon for Maki are an escape from her depression. Side note, that is something I slightly disagree with. But
well, we can get there.
we'll get there. Daigo, who was able to presumably say goodbye, was able to move on and evaluate the situation from an adult perspective. He seemed to have learned from Megadramon's sacrifice and understands the weight of the cost of being a hero. Digimon for Daigo are an inspiration. In contrast, you have the scene with Matt and Gabumon where they pledged to be together forever, which is an option the kids in the 80s didn't have. And I think it's a clever way to look at how 90s kids have been able to revisit their childhood and stay with it more now than any previous generation, thanks to the internet. For podcasters and podcast listeners, we have kept Digimon in our hearts and continue to revisit it, 02 epilogue style, but Maki and Daigo had to leave it behind. I think it's valuable to evaluate these relationships as we are all experiencing this Digimon story from adult perspectives now. What did Digimon mean to us and the characters now as adults? What did we learn from it as kids? And how has it affected us as adults? You guys build the future. I love you, Daigo. Dream big.
Okay, so I'm going to let Jeff kick this off since I know he has many feelings or something.
No, I just thought it was an interesting framing that I don't think we really discussed before of just thinking more about the chosen adults. That I think is one of the most interesting elements that Tri has offered to us in the six movies is this concept of adult chosen children and contrasting that to the kids who are struggling to deal with becoming adults while also being chosen children and seeing how, you know, like they're not just pure guiding, like they have flaws. And on the one hand, I think also think it's one of the biggest missed opportunities because Smoky's just dangling in the air and we have no resolution.
Smoky is in the dark ocean.
Smoky is Dagomon's queen.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think we'll get into more about like how chapter six works as like a finale to all of Tri versus a season finale, whatever. And I think if that's the end of Maki's arc, which I've heard some people saying like, oh, it's actually a fine end because like that's a fine way to end her arc. Just have her just spiral into bottomless pit and just end in the dark ocean. I find that immensely uncompelling or frustrating narratively. But yeah, I mean, I think one of the notes I wrote down was that like the contrast between the moment we see of Maki and Daigo is Daigo's Digimon getting to evolve, whereas Maki's Digimon dies and doesn't get to continue. And I found that kind of interesting just reading up on the like lore surrounding Apokolimon, because that's like the concept of Apokolimon supposed to be the leftover data from Digimon who, when they get reborn, like their lingering regrets after like that are left behind or whatever, is supposedly how a Pokemon is described in the adventure light novels and stuff like that. And so like considering a Pokemon is relevant again, like it feels like maybe playing with similar concepts. And I thought that the idea that like the new kids have been able to keep in touch forever, is that being similar to our ability to keep revisiting the past, also really interesting. I don't agree though about it being a distinction between 80s and 90s kids though, because I think 80s pop culture is like even more dominant in our current day pop culture than 90s culture. Like,
thanks, Ready Player One.
It's even not, before Ready Player
yeah,
One.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I think it is. On the one hand, I think it things that are specifically harkening back to like I am explicitly harkening back to the 80s is I think a phenomenon of the past like five or so years. I remember I think reading an interview with one of the creators of The Goldbergs, which is a show set in the 80s, and that they were saying that like when they started the show, they were kind of the only thing in town for explicit 80s nostalgia. And in the like now, it's like they're one of like several things that are all just aping the 80s and being like, we are explicitly 80s nostalgia. And on the one hand, that shows it's a recent phenomenon. On the other hand, the things that the Goldbergs show in the 80s, like it's all stuff that's still relevant. It's like Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Spaceballs. Like, I mean, it's things that are like, oh, I guess it started in the 80s.
Spaceballs is not relevant.
Okay. I guess Spaceballs is not that relevant. It's just on my mind because it was in a recent episode. But so many of the things that they show in the Goldbergs are like franchises that still exist and are still popular now. So I'm like, on the one hand, this is old nostalgia. On the other hand, it's like these media properties are giant behemoths that never die, and we're all just cogs in the machine of the corporate media empire.
Think about that, everybody.
But also, I mean, retro, which has been around for much longer than the past 5 years, has always meant, or not always, but like has meant at least since the huge craze when we were in high school, 80s.
Has it though?
Yes.
I think so.
I associate, are you talking about retro? Like when I think about retro, the word, I just think of retro games.
Which is 80s,
yeah.
There's a huge comeback for 80s games too.
Yeah.
Because you've got the NES Classic. I'm seeing these like miniature arcade games as handhelds that kids apparently like for some reason.
So I guess wrapping up like thoughts about this, the chosen adults, like I just think it's really fascinating. I think it's like one of the most unique things that Tri has had in relation to adventure and Digimon overall in all the seasons is showing explicit adults and their kind of struggle with the burden that their childhood adventure had on them.
I definitely agree. I love the aspect of Tri, like, Tai's struggle, A++, being like, oh no, I'm becoming an adult. There are repercussions to things. Anxiety is great. I love seeing that, you know, people who were chosen became adults, but then Tri just kills them, basically. So I feel very cheated.
I am personally hoping there's more.
I don't want more.
I don't want more.
I don't.
Can you sing that in Little Mermaid style?
I don't want more. You're welcome.
I want to be where the people aren't.
No, but I think, yes, it's not just that, oh, this is what Tri offers that all the other Digimon series haven't. But it's more that this was Tri's idea. This is like the point of Tri, and they could have leaned on it a little more, but they didn't. And if you really want to talk about the chosen children struggling with becoming adults, watch the frickin' musical. It was so much better. I mean, stage play, whatever.
I was like, Ash, did you like transpose music into them all singing all the time?
That would be great. I'd watch that.
right? Watch the stage play. It was so good, and it encapsulated in what, an hour and a half? What 6 hour and a half movies didn't?
Yeah.
And it actually kind of cared about what came before it.
Yeah.
It like cared about things. It was magical.
It didn't feel like a corporate. It just didn't feel corporate.
I mean, it did a little bit.
I mean, yes.
it's less transparent, the corporate puppeteer hands.
Hey, corporate puppeteer. There were puppets in the stage play.
Oh, there were. I actually forgot about that. Like, that's a testament to how much of it, because I feel like that's the thing that turns off people from watching that, is that like there are so many like, oh, the puppets, oh, that seems so silly and absurd. But in my memory, I forgot that there were puppets.
The puppets were great though.
Huh.
Even you, Metal Greymon, even you.
Especially Metal Greymon.
And I think back to Andy Lusman's topic, I think this, the thing you lead it with, like that Daigo and Maki are like a stand-in for us as viewers based on our age and everything. And that's, I think, a really interesting thing that I never really considered, or a point that I never gotten to before, because so much was written up from people who like surface level experience the Digimon of like, oh yeah, the kids are all grown up now. But I'm like, they're 3 years older. They're just in high school. Like, I feel like there's a desire.
And Sari are still in middle school.
Even worse. But yeah, I think there's a desire to come at these from the angle of like, they've all grown up now. Like, they're our age now. Like, they've grown up as much as we have. And it's like, no, like, really, this is kind of picking up only a couple years later after 02. And so I think it was somehow kind of genius to have characters who are overseeing the kids in the same way that we kind of feel like parents of, we feel like the Maki and Daigo of like watching over them and trying to guide them. And we have ulterior motives with what we want them to do based on our own preferences and what Digimon we want to come back to the franchise. Like, is Maki manipulating the kids to bring back the Digimon that was her favorite? Is that so different from us being so mad they didn't bring back the 02 kids? Think about that, audience.
But we could have had a compromise. We could have had soup.
If you stare into the abyss becomes you, Digimon. Woo! I was Jedi.
but noodles.
If you stare into the abyss, you become the noodle cart.
Noodles is all we wanted.
It's true. Yeah, we need Bakemon or Tapirmon for even more noodles. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I don't put myself in the frame of Maki and Daigo.
So
just speak for yourself.
Okay, actually, no, that's something that I totally see your point. I don't think I ever explicitly did. I think it's maybe what they were aiming for. And if that's what they're aiming for, maybe it wasn't that great of a job.
They were too shady government.
I don't think it was what they were aiming for. Yeah, Ashley, they were too shady government people. But also, if we do take them as representing us, what do we make of the fact that Daigo died and Maki is gone?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, but like, it was cool, but then you killed them, basically. Like, what does that, what is the future of these kids? Like, it's not hopeful. It's so bleak. And it's like, yeah, Gabumon rants at Matt about being with him when he's an old man in an onsen or whatever. But like, what is that actually going to happen? Because I don't think so. Like, based on what I was presented,
no, I believe in Gabumon. I believe in Gabumon. I believe he'll be there when Matt's an old man in an onsen.
Whatever. Yeah, they're married now. I don't know.
like the Beatles song.
When I'm 64.
Okay.
Okay.
I think my last point that I have about this is that, forgive me if I forget things wrong from 02, but it also feels like a missed opportunity given that the way that Digimon has played with adulthood in Digimon before is adults who wish they had been chosen children, which is like what Oikawa was or whatever. And again, not a good adult story that happens here. So I'm just like, why, Digimon, do you keep coming back to the adults that are sad and die?
I think that's a natural way to lean things. I think what is concerning about that is the, like, if you start to connect the dots of like, are all adults evil? Are you portraying a thing where like only the innocence of kids can persevere? Right. And I feel like by having Daigo be, I mean, I guess he was corrupt and like covering up things for a while, but I feel like in the end he was totally redeemed and we're not supposed to like think of him as morally corrupt or anything. Like, you know, there's a ray of hope in that at least.
Yeah. And I guess try does not contradict the 02 epilogue in which, sure, I am supposed to believe that Gabumon apparently lives with Matt forever and whatever.
Okay, that's not strictly in the text. The text is that they are fine, whatever, like 25 years later. He's not that old yet. The world could still end a couple years after that.
Oh, thank you. Cool.
Maki comes back with Agumon and just conquers the whole world.
I mean, sure, that's now a possibility, I guess. Why not?
Oh, man, yeah. I heard some, like, you know, random speculation, like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if the next Digimon slash adventure slash try thing was actually with the 02 epilogue kids, the next generation of the 02 kids?
Oh, my God, no.
But what if they're fighting evil Emperor Maki Queen on Daigomon, like,
there's
with
too
Daemon?
Many of them.
That's true.
There's too many of them. And they all look the same as their parents. I don't want to go through that.
We don't want to do this, like, Fruits Basket, another crap that's going to be pulled here.
Whoa. What if at the end of Try, they just pulled out the rug from under us and was like, the person you thought was Ty was actually Ty's child from the epilogue?
Wow.
Wow. Everything about that? Audience? stare into the Digimon and the Digimon becomes you.
That makes no sense.
The Digimons are forever and forever is Digimons. Cool. We're going to move on to our second topic from our other Patreon, Amalekmon, and hers is about possession. Am I not supposed to read it because Asher has a nice voice? Okay, Asher, read this one.
Ash reads slow is what I remembered. I forgot how slow Ash reads things, but this one's shorter, so it's cool.
Whoa! Because I read like audibly instead of...
Passion.
Okay, that is very true. I feel like there's some middle ground between...
All right, I'll speed up. How about that? I was thinking about the way the show deals with the concept of Ordinemon, possession and control. You first have Meikumon being influenced by the shard of Apocalypsemon and being controlled by her fear. Then Ordinemon has Gatomon and Meikumon inside of its slash her, struggling to regain control. What might be interesting to talk about is self-inflicted pain and torture, particularly since Meiko did try to commit suicide in movie 5. The theme for Kari, Meiko, Meikumon, and even Maki is depression, and this show does show how it can lead you into a routine of self-detriment. I don't know if the Digidestined themselves are that good at helping Kari, Meiko, and Maki. Certainly not Meikumon, as she's now dead. But what do you think would have helped them all overcome their troubles?
Asher, I feel like you have feelings.
I actually do agree that the theme for these female characters is depression and sort of like a helplessness against it, which is, you know, part and parcel of depression. But I disagree that Maki seeks her childhood as an escape from her depression. Rather, her depression is a symptom of seeking her childhood so obsessively.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, that was my correction.
Like, I totally know how it feels.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, my general impression about all this is it sucks to be female in Digimon. You are always getting influenced by outside forces without your own agency. You could throw Sora in here too. Yeah,
not really like Sora in these movies, but generally
not so much in these movies, but generally.
What about Matt?
Not in these movies.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I think in the last episode, in the first half of our Tri discussion, we talked there was like a brief aside about Tri treating female characters really badly, and I was like, did it really treat them worse than the original season? And just looking at this, that like what we used to talk about Hikari alone or Kari alone has now become like this thing that is shared between Hikari, Mako, Meikumon, Maki. Like, it's like, oh, all these new female characters, and they all, it's like, I don't know, by having all of the characters share similar themes, it's like very much tying it to being female, which is troubling.
Yeah, I mean, the one who escapes is Mimi.
Yeah, Mimi's the ray of hope.
Mimi is sort of always the exception in that. And there, I think, as much as I love Mimi, there's a sense that, like, she's too stupid to get.
Yeah, yo, definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
As much as I don't think Mimi stupid, like, that is
how she's oblivious to other people's feelings.
That's called emotional stupidity.
Since when?
Since right now.
I mean, I think it's kind of interesting to think of it as like different competencies or different intelligences. Like, you know, Mimi has a emotional intelligence that, or like an ability, like in touchness with her emotions and the ability to cheer people up that no one else has. And that, I don't know. But it feels like on the flip side, like what does Hikari or Maki or Mako have that is like the strength that makes them more appealing to this kind of depression? Like, I think it's more the absence of things than really like them being drawn to it for any reason. Yeah,
they're nice.
They're young.
Do we really even see like Hikari being particularly nicer than other people though?
Yes. In general, yes, actually.
I guess she is more self-sacrificing in situations.
She does things for her brother, and then all the other guys love her.
Yeah, it's things like that. And like going back to season one, she's always the one like reaching out to like even ugly Numamon and trying to heal enemies with the goodness of her heart. She helps the scary Divermon, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. Fair.
She has snarkiness that I think Jeff is mistaking for being mean.
I wasn't trying to imply that she's mean. I guess I was trying to imply that like a lot of what I think we chalk up to her being so kind and generous is, I think, a blanket, like a kind of thing you would assume of everyone. Like her being so caring towards Taichi is like, I think, not so different from what like we've seen any sibling relationship do in the show, or even just when anyone is in trouble and someone is the person that's there to help them. You know, like that's kind of more the angle I was thinking of. Not that I do kind of miss her snark. I feel like her snarkiness was not super present in these movies.
That's because it's largely a dub thing.
I'm a little bit skeptical about that for 02, at least, since there's so much like wacky shenanigans with Daisuke, even in Japanese.
I mean, I would have to watch 02.
Yeah.
I suspect it is largely still a dub thing.
That's true. Yeah.
I suspect in Japanese she may just like laugh quietly and not respond.
Classic.
Yeah. Anyway, like moving away from Kari, I guess, with Mako and Meikumon and Maki, like it's always self-sacrifice, always.
The M girls. That's what I'm. The M gang.
Except for Mimi.
Yeah, that's true. Except for Mimi, who is perfect.
can call it Hikari's depression posse. Her depression harem.
Great. I would ship Kari and Mako. I'm into that.
I mean, the show, that's what Odinemon is.
Yeah! Mm-hmm. I am supported in my lesbian Hikari headcanon.
Oh, this is the ultimate, like, disaster lesbian, then, Odinemon.
Oh my god, you're right. You're right. That is exactly what it is.
No comments.
Into it.
You really do like the butts in the end, don't you? Anyway.
I think the show is so, like, I mean, one of Amalekmon's comments was about, like, what do we think would have helped them all overcome their troubles? And I feel like Digimon has rarely been, you know, like, in touch enough with serious topics like this to actually propose realistic solutions to such problems.
No kidding. Therapy would have helped all of them. All of them. Therapy.
Nope. Go into the dark ocean. Very helpful. It's hard to say what would have helped them overcome their troubles, but my favorite scenes are whenever Hikari does manage to, like, wrestle control from whatever is trying to possess her. That doesn't make her happier in the end, you know, like, it's not like she wrestles control from homeostasis and then it's like, I'm great now, I'm such a badass. She's always like, oh my god.
Yeah,
it's actually really unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, that's a running theme with Andrew brought Matt up and his depression, and like he got to overcome his and then come be a badass and rescue Sora. And I feel like that's still going on. How many years later? What are we on? 15 or 20?
Almost 20.
Almost 20 years later, that's still what's going on in Digimon. And I think each of these girls actually, I say girls, Maki's a woman, I guess. Each of these people has a different problem that would require a different solution. But the problem of Digimon treating them is they don't care. They just want them to suffer and be pretty and struggle.
Yeah.
I think there's kind of two different questions, though, because there are two different problems that, like, what is narratively satisfying for, like, an arc of depression in narrative is different from what is, like, actually the best approach in real life. Someone sitting down and going to therapy is not. But I feel like Tri fails in both those regards in that sense. That, like,
exactly.
That, yes. Like, yeah, we don't expect them to actually sit down and go to therapy. But I feel like the moments of like Hikari wrestling control from homeostasis, and then, like, I feel like that is such on paper such a strong moment and such a, like, thing I want to, like, be like a fist pounding, like, raise your arm, like, oh yes, like, because she's so for so long been defined by, like, a lack of her own agency and, like, passiveness, giving it to other people, letting other people, especially this, like, ultimate, like, maybe god-like figure of the digital world, and to, like, wrestle control from that and be like, no, this isn't good. Like, it's her showing her own agency. It's great. Should be this great moment. And instead it's like, is this bad? What's kind of going on here? And similarly with her moment when she comes in and stops Tai Chi in this movie. That scene, I've seen a lot of takes since we recorded last episode. They're a lot more generous of it because they, so it's a scene where, Tai Chi reappears, has a victorious moment, like, starts, I think Omegamon forms and is fighting again. And then Hikari comes in and is like, Tai Chi, I can't forgive you, but that's why I'm going to fight alongside you. And I think I complained about last episode too, was that, like, I just find that whole exchange so confusing. Like, what anyone is thinking, what anyone's stake in the fight is and what their plan is so nebulous. And, like, what are they discussing? What do they think they're doing? Is so, like, that. I found it so jarring, confusing. And I have read and seen a lot of takes a lot more generous of it. I think even Ash at the time in the last episode was more generous of it, because, like, it's clearly what it's going for is that Hikari is like, I know that your decision you're making, Tai Chi, is the only thing. And so, like, I still don't think it's good, but, like, it's the only thing you can do. And I understand that you've struggled to get to that conclusion. And even though it's the same conclusion that homeostasis made, like, I understand that you've struggled to get to that conclusion. And so let's do it together. But, like, none of that is said. It's all so confusing and nebulous that, sorry, this derailed into complaining about. I guess I'm just complaining that, like, that those moments of, like, what should be the narratively satisfying overcoming of depression moments even feel like, what? Huh?
Yes. Yes, I agree. Also, the word you were looking for, like, 5 minutes ago was passivity.
Yeah, passivity. Yeah.
Q&A mailbag time, where all you listeners sent us lots of unanswered questions, I suppose, that you have or want to know our opinions about very particular topics. So we have tried to group them together since, you know, some of them are similar. We've grouped them a little bit together to make sure that we don't repeat ourselves a million times. So this first batch is basically unanswered questions that the movie either just didn't touch on or perhaps answered unsatisfactorily, I guess.
But I mean, the unanswered questions is the weird one, because it's like these aren't discussion topics. They're just like people being on the same page as us and being like, what?
Yeah, well, we can't answer these either.
Yeah.
Okay. Tristan M. says, I'm not sure what happened to Jedi and why he is still evil. And is that Cube a Dark Spore or the Apocalypse data fragment? Is Meikumon a Digi-Egg? I have so many questions. Don't we know? I mean, we speculated about what Jedi even is. Because he's not Jedi. That's basically our running...
I don't think any of these are conclusive answers, and they're all speculation, and they're all things that could be changed. Like, Jedi, what we know is that there's another Jedi body. And I think where I am leaning with that is that I took it at face value, whatever he said in movie 4, that he's like a corrupted... I think he even said he was a corrupted fragment of Jedi or something. So I'm like, it makes sense that Jedi could still have clones, and one of them got corrupted or whatever. And... Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jedi must surely still have clones. That's just like, why wouldn't he?
I guess. Yeah, I don't remember why he had clones in the first. Like, if I forget if 02 resolved with him being like, I will never use clones again.
No. Or,
yeah, I feel like they showed him in like a montage going around controlling Digimon, accessing the internet, like access to knowledge with lots of clones, maybe.
I thought actually the implication was that there have always been multiple Jedis floating around.
I'm not sure about that.
I mean, there weren't any in Adventure.
Right.
Doesn't mean they weren't there.
They were killed by Piedmon in the prequel part.
I think technically...
There were multiple Jedis there?
I think technically that those weren't other Jedi. There were other entities like Jedi. Yeah. I think as much as the light novels inform us, I think that the backstory explained there is that those are other agents like Jedi, not actually other clones of Jedi.
Oh, well, are Jackie and I forgot all the other ones' names. are they all Jedi, like explicitly Jedi clones or entities like Jedi?
I think they're all clones. That's an interesting question that I wish Digimon in general addressed. Because, yeah, I see your, like, is there a distinction between agents other than just formed of Jedi? But anyway, the other questions of, like, the cube, is it a dark spore or a Apocalypse data fragment? I was concluding it was a data fragment of the Apocalypse shard or whatever. Too. But, and I think it's...
aren't they related anyway? Does it matter?
I don't think the dark spore and Apocalypse are ever explicitly linked. I mean, a dark spore is supposed to be spawned from Millenniummon. That's a whole
can of real worms.
But isn't Millenniummon
related to Apocalypse?
I don't think so. Millenniummon's formed from a fusion.
I would be surprised if it is.
Millenniummon's formed from a fusion of like a Chimeramon and a Machinedramon or whatever.
It's funny because it's before Chimeramon was made.
Yeah,
by Ken.
It's a whole can of Rio worms. And Meikumon being a Digi-Egg or not. I guess when we talked about it, we kind of figured it conclusive that Meikumon could not have been reborn because she died in the human world. But I think I heard this on the With the Will podcast that like since the digital world and human world were kind of like merging at the moment and that happened
again,
that there's like plenty of things they could write around in the future if they wanted to say like, oh, because they were merging, it was kind of the digital world, so she still got reborn in Primary Village. So that's a possibility. But I don't think any of those are conclusive at all.
I mean, they're not conclusive, but they are possible answers.
Right. There are ways to lean.
They are educated guesses.
Yeah, I think that they are things that you can make much better educated guesses about than many things that Tri has left open otherwise.
Okay, fair. Like, where has Alphamon gone to?
Yeah, so there's next series of questions from Behold Dragon and Jackals 31. It's all about Alphamon. And so we've got, where the heck has Alphamon gone to? What was even his endgame? Is he the real Alphamon or a copy like the fake Imperial Dramon? And whose side was Alphamon on?
Whose side do we think Alphamon was on?
Definitely so, not homeostasis.
Well, okay.
even that... Okay, because we know that Jessmon was on homeostasis, because Jessmon was Hackmon. And we know that Jessmon and Alphamon were fighting at one point, so definitely not homeostasis. If that's explicitly Yggdrasil, probably, but also who cares? Because in the end, doesn't matter. And I'm frustrated with Alphamon not showing up. I am frustrated that we don't get any idea of what he was up explicitly, but also, like, it's just such bad scripting of the... I'm just thinking about how many things when, like, people negatively criticize the first couple of Tri movies, and then we're kind of like, they have a plan. They have a 6-episode plan, and I think we should wait until the end. And, like, by the end, it's like, no, I'm actually, like, more critical of the end. Like, now it's like, you introduce these actors to then have them, like, not play... And I don't know. It could all... If this is midway through the Tri story, because there is more planned, I think I'm a lot more forgiving of all that stuff. But even as a season finale, if that's what it is, it's not a good season finale to leave those questions up in the air without any... If there were an explicit, like, there will be more Digimon to Try, then I'd be a lot more forgiving of it. But there wasn't.
I mean, I am all about not criticizing stories for story things until the whole story is told. But, like, that still doesn't forgive Try taking forever to come out and playing these mind games with me. Like, screw you, Try.
Yeah. And it's also, like, I don't know, just the concept of Maki and Alphamon being lingering mysteries because they're just not even in this movie at all. Like, I don't know.
That. Honestly, I didn't even realize, like, I just forgot about Alphamon while watching movie 6.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's kind of just there as a random, like, enemy that is dramatic in the first movie, and then is there again in the fifth movie, and it's, like, kind of, like, whatever. And
I also kind of forgot about that fake Imperial Dramon faking us out at one point in movie 2.
I completely, I don't even, that happened?
Yeah.
When
it was incredibly important for, like, 5 minutes.
It's the thing that Vikemon and Rosemon fought when they digivolved first time.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, exactly, because it doesn't matter.
And, whether it was the real Imperial Dramon or if it was some kind of fake thing, I think people are concluding that it was some kind of fake thing because the way it kind of, like, dissolves digitally or something at the end, but, like...
It was also, like, off-color.
Yeah, but that could have been, like, corrupted. I just feel like there's so much wiggle room that, like, new writers come in and give 50 different answers. So it's like, meh.
Woo. Okay. This next batch of questions is about the possibility of more Tri that was left open by Jedi, not really Jedi, crazy man saying.
It wasn't even Jedi. I mean, like, I guess that's the only explicit thing, but, like, just the structure of not mentioning Daigo or Maki and...
I mean, yeah, sure. There are many little things that have led up to it, but, like, his is the most explicit, like, story could be about these people. I don't know, maybe, like... So we've got people basically, you know, asking. Erba Yunrei says, should try again?
No.
Asher definitely says no, exactly. I want to say yes, because I want them to resolve all these things, and I would sure, like, let's see more 02 kids and whatever. But after seeing the execution of this, I'm like, please no, please don't do this.
Give this to a different team, or just someone who cares.
Okay, lots of things. I totally agree with Andrew that, like, I want to see this in, even if just slightly different creative hands. But I also don't feel comfortable concluding that people didn't care who worked on this. I just feel like all I can conclude is the direction and writing in lots of places was terrible. And I don't know quite why that was, but I would think I would be excited in a shakeup of creative teams to see if there's a possibility of getting that ironed out. And
well, there were like 5 different writers over the 6 different movies, which is a lot, to be honest.
That's a lot, but that didn't, like, I feel like that's not the kind of what you would expect of a situation like that isn't what I feel like happened. I didn't feel like we had situations where it felt like the movie 5 didn't know what happened in movie 4, or like abrupt changes of tone, or like things that, like, information was contradicting itself or whatever. Instead, what it felt like was, like, individual scenes felt like they weren't written in a way that was at all clear what was going on, and it was just ambiguous what's happening. And it's like, what does anyone think in the situation? I feel like those are all just, like, you know, like, if the work is split up into several writers, like, each one should be able to write their atomic unit in a way that makes sense.
It just feels like there's too many chefs in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's possible. And I feel like the problems with the direction probably come from, poor, like, I assume it's like, it needs to be exactly this length in order to be a movie and to be released in this format. And we don't have that much content to fill it with, or like those kind of constraints. So like, it's very possible it's not just pinned down to like, there was a bad director, or there was a bad animator, or whatever, or there's a staff that doesn't care, or there's a staff, there's several staff that want to draw Ardina Mon's butt instead. Like, it's not those kind of things that, but I guess I hope for, and this kind of leads into the next thing we'll talk about, which is like, well, okay, there was actually another comment, another question saying, if they were, so this is from Regal Art 1996 on Tumblr. They said, if they were to do another tri-sequel or something along the lines of a sequel, which format would you prefer it? Drama CD, another show, or another few movies? And I think the thing is that I feel like the serial movie format fit Tri particularly badly. And if they were to tell this kind of story in a format that more naturally fit the kind of story they were telling, you know, like if it were episodes that had a better, you know, like content to, you know, like story content to runtime ratio, didn't feel so padded and awkwardly animated, I feel like we'd be a lot more forgiving. The writing would feel so much better. And so those are the kind of things that I'm like excited for, the possibility of more Tri that just is more on sync in those kind of aspects.
Yeah, I think if we had to have another Tri item, I would actually want a single movie, because the way they had this set up where it all sort of ties around Mako, or it should all tie around Mako, and it, whether it succeeded or not, like when you have a one-off character that is going to be contained within this this work that you were doing, just do it all at once. Just do it all at once. Tighten it up. One movie. You could do it.
Like a full-length movie, not the normal 30-minute Digimon movie.
No. Full-length movie. Or like hour and a half. Is that a full-length movie?
Full-length children's movie, sure.
I will sit through an hour and a half. If they tightened it to just that. You could have all the kids like Digivolve once at one time, and it'd be fine.
It's like watching these movies has made me forget how much story can be told in a 90-minute movie. You know, like how much character development, how much emotional drama, how much resolution, how much setup even.
All your favorite children's movies do that in 90 freaking minutes, is what I'm saying.
And I don't know. I feel bad comparing it to Infinity War, which I did in the last episode too. But like, Infinity War is also much longer than 90 minutes. I forget, it's like 2.5 hours or something. But like
2 hours. It's almost 3 hours from what I've heard.
Yeah. But like, it's just so adept at introducing characters. And like, it doesn't introduce them from scratch, right? But like,
neither does Tri.
Right. But like, you know, actually, Infinity War isn't a good analogy for this, what I'm trying to explain now, which is like, a movie has so much runtime to set up something, and like, it actually, now I'm thinking about it, it reminds me of when there were only like 2 episodes left of Lost, and they were, I think they were like explicitly like really long, it was like a movie length episode was going to be the finale, and I remember thinking like leading into that, we were all like, they can explain so much in this movie length episode, because like, a movie can set up and explain so much, and like, everyone had their hopes way too high, right, but like... That's kind of how every Tri movie is felt, like, oh my god, like there's so much potential in a movie to explain and do so much, and it's just like, I feel like even the people who love Tri have to think of it from the angle of like, well, Tri just doesn't bat the same weight as other movies, and I'm fine with that, you know, like I'm not expecting it to bat the same weight as, you know, like some of the most successful cinematic event movies like Marvel movies, or the most artistic, you know, like thoughtful indie movies or whatever, but like when it can't even measure up to like what we expect is like general competence from anime or anime movies, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah,
I just don't think it should have been movies.
was there a question? Was that? I guess this was. Mm-hmm. I thought there was another question that was saying, what do we think Tri should have been? But maybe it was this question. I feel like.
Well, there's a question from Golden Pelt. That's, do you think the story as a whole would be paced better if it had been a TV show? And yes.
Yeah.
Asher skeptical.
I'm skeptical. I think it should have been one movie, but
maybe two.
No.
Too much.
giving too much.
I mean,
Andrew, how do you feel in general? I feel we have not gotten explicitly whether you think Try should try again and whether it should have been a TV show or not.
Honestly, it should. Like, it could have been much shorter and it could have been more concise on what it was trying to tell us.
With two movies, yes. You're in the two movie camp.
Yeah, so just like stuff happens, leads to something bad, like something really, really bad happening, and then it's resolved in the second movie.
Okay, and that's your preferred world.
Yes.
See, the reason I'm leaning towards why I think this would have been done much better as a TV show is that, like, the impression I'm getting from why this series felt so paced so weirdly and frustratingly was, like, I mean, I don't think Toei Animation has much of a, if you think of, like, animation directors and writers, like, they have lots of experience writing episodes of anime television, like, for that specific format. And to have this vastly different format, like, I would not be surprised if it's just, like, a very different kind of skill, not even from a, like, writing perspective, but a management perspective. A lot of animation, the process is just management, like, managing the kind, like, the animators to the cuts and all of that. All the whole process is not just a writing thing. And so, like, all those skills, I don't think translate one-to-one to a totally different format that most people in the industry are much less familiar with. And if it's, you know, like, a single feature movie, there's lots of experience there. But this kind of, like mostly TV quality that is structured as a movie, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not really, you know, like, it's falling into a weird middle space where it's neither utilizing the skills and experience of either forms that the animators and staff and everyone is familiar with. Mm. And so I don't know. I would normally be skeptical of saying, like, oh, take this whole story and repackage into TV episodes. It'd be so much better. But I just feel like with that perspective of how the animation industry works, probably.
Well, at Crimson AA, or at Crimson _ AA, says, do we think Try will get a TV series similar to Dragon Ball Super?
I just want to explain what this is. People who aren't familiar with Dragon Ball Super or Boruto, what both of those series did is, well, I mean, they're a little bit different in airing times, but Dragon Ball basically I can't remember if it was two or three movies, and numbers kind of relevant, movies that were like big feature events that basically were like in the big lull between Dragon Ball, the last Dragon Ball thing, and Dragon Ball Super coming back on the air. And when Dragon Ball Super came back on the air, the material they started with was just retelling the movies with the episodic format. And Boruto was kind of similar, except not really with the lull in between. There was a movie and the anime started, and I guess to solve the filler problem with long-running shonen anime like Naruto, they basically have been leading up to the anime movie. And, like, the Boruto thing is kind of different because it's kind of just, like, trying to be a weekly airing show that airs forever. And so, like, one of the ways to do that is to reanimate the movie. So that's kind of, like, where long-running anime are at now, and especially Toei Animation is not behind Boruto, but is behind Dragon Ball Super. So I think the question is explicitly, you know, like, not like Try, will the next stage of Try be a movie, but, like, do you want to see Try, these six movies, reanimated into a TV series? Not the episodes, like, cut up better, but, like, totally reanimated. And I definitely say no.
No.
they have a clarifying sentence, is like, where they adapt the movies into episodes while adding a few things that weren't in the movies, then continuing past where the movies left off.
Yeah, no. And I feel like that format worked okay for Dragon Ball Super, because it's like, I mean, first of all, the movies were like standalone things and there weren't that many of them, but like having six movies, I don't know. I actually can't remember the numbers. I think it was like around 25 episodes of Dragon Ball Super that were retelling movies, which I guess is not that different from the number of Try movies when they're split up into episodes. So maybe it's not that different, but like,
it's very different because they completely rewrote things.
Was it completely or like subtle changes?
It was not subtle.
Because
it's much longer than.
Oh, they made it longer.
Yeah, they made it's like, I forget how long each arc is, but you're talking about like a 90 minute movie until like, well, two 90 minute movies until to like the first 24 episodes, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that is a lot of stretching. I feel like the main reason why this would be not a good idea for Digimon Try is, like, I don't think any of us feel like this arc of the story is so strong that it is, like, worth retelling and, like, worth expounding on. You know, like, I don't know.
The question is, do I think it will get this? And the answer is no, because it's Dragon Ball Super and Boruto and Gundam are all much bigger franchises than Digimon. Sorry, Digimon fandom. hate to break it to you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like those things, like Dragon Ball Super at least and Boruto, when they're repackaged into the, it's more to like be a long running weekly series that, you know, I mean, Dragon Ball Super isn't on the air anymore, but was for like 3 years. And Digimon is definitely not something that is going to be on the air indefinitely at this point.
So no, Try is already, like, the way we consume it already is basically a TV series, and like, was it that much better? No. Like,
we got to hear Butterfly even more than the Japanese.
Hear more, you know. Butterfly.
But yeah, I do think it's a pretty different question than just taking movies and cut them up into episodes, because I feel like no one really benefits from that.
Sure, but like, they're already using TV quality Toei animation, I feel, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, judging the difference between TV quality and film quality is difficult, but definitely not, does not feel as impressive as any films.
The next things relate to whether Try was worth it overall or not, which is exactly Ancient Irismon's question, which was Try worth it overall? And we got an email from William Francis, not having seen this question, but you know,
it happened perfectly, yeah.
So I guess we'll have Asher read it again.
Sure thing.
His voice has been missing.
And
well, I don't have anything to say about that last question. How should I feel about Try? I am first of all grateful. Adventure is my favorite series from my childhood. To even get more stories with these kids after 15 years is a dream. But then Try started airing and there were problems with the production. The animation, editing, background music were not up to par. Then there was the writing and plot holes, so many plot holes, and I am left with the feeling that if this is what we got 15 years ago, there would be no fans to see this movie. There would not be an ongoing fandom. For so much of Try, I am watching and thinking about how this shot has been left on for too many seconds, about how needlessly sexualized some of the Digimon forms are, how the background music is loud and obnoxious, about how I've forgotten the Digimon lost their memories, just like the writers apparently did. I watch and I'm thinking about how terribly edited this is. Why is Tai's reveal so early in the movie? Agumon's line about believing he would come back is totally undercut by the fact we know he is coming back. But then the series hits that right note, even if just for a second. Maybe it's the Digimon powering up to save their friends. Maybe it's Gabumon's declaration of how much Yamato means to him. Maybe it's Tai appearing, and he looks at Yamato, and you know everything will be all right. And I forget about the problems. I forgive Toei for that moment, for botching what could have been a home run. I am not moved to tears easily. It's probably been more than 2 years since I've cried, but that's what I was doing from the moment Taichi returned to save the day, because I knew it was over. Because despite all its flaws, Try brought these characters back to life for me. Maybe when I do a rewatch, the finale won't have that effect. Maybe the nostalgic glimmer won't cover all the many flaws as well. But for now, I am happy Try exists. I am happy I watched it, and these kids will always have a special place in my heart.
How does that make you feel, Asher?
I'm happy for this person.
I thought that was a really well-articulated email and reaction to Try as a whole. And personally, echoes a lot of my thoughts that, like, even as bad as things are, there are moments where it shines through.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate reflection. And again, and it's not that I'm, like, I think I'm not actually inherently, like, Try itself was not worth it. I think what was not worth it was it taking 3 years to come out and sucking up all that time and energy from me. Like, that's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not so much like...
The story itself is fine. It's not great, but, like, it's given me new things to think about, so cool.
Yeah, like, I think you unanimously... Well, unanimously because you're one person, but, like, the question of, like, should Try have existed or not existed? And you'd be like, well, sure, it should have existed, but we're just fatigued after 3 hours of waiting for it, like, that...
3 years. You said hours.
Did I say 3 hours? Oh. Oh, boy.
I wish it was 3 hours.
Yeah. If it was only 3 hours, I'd be like, cool.
Oh, yeah. 3 years. Like, yeah. On the one hand, the 3 years, like, and this is an aspect that I find is an interesting angle, too. Like, was the angle, was Try worth it or not? And I feel like it was definitely worth it from a series reinvigorating the fandom perspective. Like, I think it's brought a lot of people back in, a lot of people that, like, Digimon wasn't on their radar again. It's made them, like, reconsider, get back in. And like William Francis said, like, the if this is what we got 15 years ago, he was left with the thought that there wouldn't be any fans left to see this movie. Like, and I that's, like, I'm frustrated that this thing that got everyone to come back to the franchise, that I think plenty of people are going to be, have been fatigued by it. Some people, and like a lot of people loved it, and that's great. But I'm sad that, like, it wasn't the home run. It wasn't the home run that kept everyone engaged and made them be like, oh, that was a great movie. And the fact that it took so long to come out, I've just seen anecdotally so many people who, like, initially were like, oh, there's a new Digimon adventure. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I love Taichi Yamato. Oh my God, Taichi Yamato is on the cover for this movie. Oh my God, it's going to be so great. And, like, after, like, waiting for the second movie and then watching it and being like, eh. And then, like, me waiting for the third movie, like, there's not. Maybe I'll watch it someday. And that's sad. That's disappointing. And I wish the thing that got people in, kept them invigorated, kept them excited for more. And that's why I'm excited for the possibility of more, because maybe it could just be better.
Maybe you could just bring them all back again. Oh yeah, I think there's an interesting, there's, you know, because our perspective is we have to do this podcast. It's kind of what we've set ourselves up to do. So there's fatigue in that we always have to be paying attention to try, that I, you know, casual fans don't have. But yeah, I think the reverse of that is that casual fans just freaking forget that try exists after that first two movies. Like,
yeah. And then, like, maybe now they're all out, people will go back and, like, watch them all together. Maybe that's the thing that's going to start happening.
That is possibly a thing I've noticed happening. No, that's a thing. Hmm. I've seen a couple friends of mine have gone back and watched them now that, or like right before the sixth one came out was when they did that. But I actually don't feel that it was worth it. I kind of resent the 9 hours of my life that went into watching these movies.
Well, technically,
I think this
longer
is funny because you are the one who was like, yeah, these were fine. And we were like, no, it's bad. And you're like,
no, the only
fine
one I was only fine with the last one, as far as I remember.
Yeah, that's true. And the second one.
And the second one. You like the second one.
Oh, yeah, because that was Mimi and Joe. All right. I was probably hype about that one.
The writing was mostly good in that one.
Yes, exactly. It was 2 years ago, and you don't remember how much you liked that because it was actually one of the better movies and about Mimi and Joe.
I like that. That movie was clearly made for me. But yeah, like I don't always feel that more fan interaction is better fan interaction. Not that I am deeply involved with the Digimon fandom. But I, for all this money and energy and hype to go into something that felt like such a slog, just does not scream worth it to me. Yes, I was moved by certain moments. Those are certain moments I could have gotten on my own, through fan fiction or role play or watching something else. So I hate to be the downer, but, you know, I guess I gotta be me.
This is an emotional roller coaster with Ash's feelings about Try, I feel. speaking of Digimon fandom, I guess I don't think it's worth it for what my perception of what it has done to the fandom, which is divide it even more over, like, you know, everybody kind of liked adventure, right? Like, most people liked original adventure. 02 became divisive. Now I feel like Try throws it even more into the divisive camp, and I'm like, we didn't need that. Like,
wait, people like 02 besides me?
Yeah, there are people.
I like 02.
People like 02. Freaking Andy Lusamon thinks that Daisuke is the best, and him and Kari are together.
Daisuke, oh. Ashley.
Whatever. Davis.
Yeah. Some of the, as the time we're recording this, the first part Try episode has not gone up yet, and it's going to go up in a couple hours after we finish recording this. And I feel like we're recording this 2 weeks later, and I feel bad that it took so long for it to come out, but it's relevant to discussion to at least address that, like, part of the reason why I wasn't in a rush to get it out right away, actually, I was traveling too, but, like, part of the reason I wasn't in a rush to edit it super quickly and release it was that, like, the fandom seems so kind of, like, angrily divisive that, like, if you were negative about Try, people started to, like, put up the you know, like guards and be like, oh, if you you never understood Digimon in the first place. And like,
yeah.
if you don't like try, why are you even watching? And like, it just made me be so like, I kind of don't want to be a part of this like immediate reaction discussion culture. You know, like I kind of prefer to have, and we were also getting flooded with comments, which is great. I mean, I love all the fan interaction and everything, but like, I kind of wanted to like have our negative reaction be kind of removed from it a little bit and be like, okay, like once everyone's calmed down, like, okay, now here's our reaction for our fans and not like, you know, like, upset the coals too much. And I don't know, in that sense, I don't know if the divisiveness is bad, because it's people being passionate and that's cool, but the like kind of the kind of yeah. like the kind of like walling off into separate, like everyone who likes try talking to each other about how much I like try, everyone who doesn't like try, like they should stay separate, that I don't like. And
yeah,
so the definition of divisiveness.
Yeah, I feel like when you talk about media being divisive, I never really think of that as literally putting people into different camps so they don't talk to each other about it across camp lines, you know, like, but I guess that is the definition.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, it's just like, adventure doesn't need this. Adventure was pure. And like,
oh, okay, Ashley.
Stop making us rethink what we like and dislike and being mad about character interpretations. Like, just stop. I don't want it.
Yeah. Just do the stage play as on loop.
Yeah.
The stage play minus the mentions of Meikumon.
Yeah. Easily cut that out.
Just make the stage play a prettily animated movie.
Honestly, yeah, do it.
Okay.
Can we address this? There's a question from CC Chicago that was, which do you think was the better overall sequel to Adventure? 02 or Try?
02. No, all right. The Try stage play is good as an actual sequel. It takes the characters and it moves them somewhere else. Like, that's what a good sequel should do. But of those two options, yeah, 02.
Especially since it felt like a natural evolution of the world they were in.
02 does?
Yeah.
I think the stage play is still better for that.
Well, the stage play is better for the characters themselves.
Yes. Oh, you're right. I guess they didn't go to a world. You're correct.
The stage play was more like a introspective on the characters we already knew and loved from Adventure, which Try doesn't really do very well. But 02 is like a natural evolution of the world that stemmed from Adventure.
Yeah,
they did have a lot of wacky Digimon adventures. Yes,
they did go on those Digimon adventures. I agree that I think 02 is a lot better, just because 02, like, the kind of concepts and things that it added to the fandom, their original ideas, were, I think, more compelling. Like, I think when we look back at Try, it's like, okay, they added the Daigo and Maki and the fleshing out the original wave of Chosen Children, original generation. But, like, 02 gave us Ken, precious boy Ken. That, like, sure, everyone else, like, lost spotlight to him in the end, and he was the center of 02, but like, he's my precious boy forever and always.
Yeah, and then Try took him, put him in the body of Licky Evil Genii, and wasn't that fun?
I really enjoyed Ken dancing around in the last movie. Like, it went nowhere, and like, he never did. Okay, I would have found that amazing if they had mixed him dancing around with him getting beat up like he was in the fourth movie as Genii. Like, that's so frustrating looking back at it, that like, there should have been some scene, like, instead he just like totally doesn't interact with anyone and just like, I don't know. It was so satisfying to see like Joe punch him and stuff, or tackle him, so to get him dancing around and also being beat up by the kids would be amazing.
Yeah, so keeping on this 02 kids train, Ed DigiJust says, how did you feel about how they addressed the 02 kids? The solution wasn't ideal, but it's good they didn't ignore the issue, I guess.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense from a character standpoint.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
Because even if somehow they all drifted away, as far as we know, TK still lives in the same building as Yoli and Cody.
Those are assumptions. I don't think we should jump to those assumptions to conclude that it's bad writing. It's bad writing for so many other reasons.
True.
I don't think we need to jump to those conclusions that are kind of like unfounded. There's an article I'm going to link to in the show notes from Adventure Hearts on Tumblr that's like a kind of like a full exploration, a detailed exploration of what kind of everything you need to, all the disbelief you need to suspend to accept this, and like the timing, especially and stuff. And it's like, I think it's, I only skimmed it, so I forget if there was an explicit conclusion to that Tumblr post. But for like just skimming it, I already like, I feel like it's kind of thing, the more you dig into it on a specific detail level, the more you can be accepting of it. Like, if you look at the like time frame of this, of Try, it's like, okay, it happened over the course of these many weeks. Like, not that, it wasn't like over months or a year, whatever. It was over a couple, over a specific number of weeks. Like
it was under, over 3 years. Do not lie to me.
Okay, that's how it felt, because it was. But so, like, the more you dig into those details, the more you're like, okay, I can see why, you know, like, they have so much going on. They, like, think they can't get in touch with them. They get reassured from Maki that they're okay. And, like, there's all this stuff going on in this short time frame.
We got one scene where Kari and PK do go knock on Ken's door.
Except they don't really.
But my main point is like, the more you dig into details, the more I think you can accept it. The more you can be like, okay, I guess this isn't that weird. But I still think on an emotional gut level, it always feels weird. Especially with us waiting 3 years in between at all. You know, like, just as a viewing experience, it feels like they went 3 years without getting in touch with them. You know, so like, yeah. And yeah, the main question, the solution wasn't ideal, but it's better. It's good they didn't ignore the issue, I guess. And yeah, it would be worse if they never brought them up at the end. So I guess yeah, it's better than that. Sure. Yeah,
I enjoyed their awkward, awful silhouettes. Sure.
No, you don't even joke about enjoying that, Ashley. Like, wow. I've seen some speculation that like it was decent that they kept them as silhouettes, because if they had given them designs, then they'd be locked into that. And then if they wanted to, you know, if then there was a sequel to Try a couple years later that featured them, that they would be locked into these designs, and with them kept, you know, literally in the dark for now, they can be designed with whatever current style it is in the time when potential feature comes out, potential sequel comes out. I think that's silly, because like, even if they debuted designs here, there's nothing to stop them from having new designs in a new thing. Like, nothing would be upset about.
Okay,
that.
Even just a stylistic point, like Yuha Tase wrote in the original Shigeyugi has designs for many characters that are appearing 20 freaking years later in a different series that I'm sure she's going to, that has updated to her new art style. Like, calm down, people. Like,
yeah, it's not like
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it only seems like a limitation of resources. Like, yeah, it's the kind of thing you would need to spend more time and have character designers work on character designs for the style. And if you're not going to actually, you're trying to cut expenses, maybe that's a waste. Maybe that's why they didn't do it. Who knows? Maybe they didn't realize people would find it upsetting to not see them at all.
Okay. At Ono Nan-chan, I just added a chan.
What? Oh my god, Ashley, how full weeb have you gone?
I'm pretty weeb. Ed says, a little obvious, but what do you think Try accomplished most successfully and least successfully? I kind of feel like it's the answer for both of them is the same, which is the adulthood aspect. Like, that was the most interesting thing about Try. Also, it fell on its face in the end.
Yeah, I actually agree with that pretty completely.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they accomplished most successfully?
Stealing what? 3 years of our lives?
Yeah.
I was going to say the box office, but that's too
dark.
Changing the framing of the question a little bit in terms of, so instead of successfully, I want to think like what I'm most impressed by or surprised by. And I think the thing that I was kind of the most, or didn't expect, that I'm most surprised by is that throughout all these movies, despite, so the least successfully, totally the writing and the individual moments and the directing and the pacing, which I guess is not one thing, but all those things together have just made everything feel like sloppy and messy and like more, I feel bad saying incompetent, because that's like about people. And like, I don't want to say that the people themselves are incompetent, but like the product itself just feels like a mess. More messy than like any anime I've seen before, which surprised me, because like I guess I don't watch like the crappiest currently airing seasonal anime, but like such a wide range of stuff, and so it's just it's baffling. But what I'm most surprised by is the fact that throughout all that, all of the characters, they always felt like those characters. And I feel like going into this, having new writers in charge, I feel like that was a valid concern and a thing we should never really have taken for granted, that like the character writing would feel so much like they really got who these characters were from the original season. And it's frustrating that they seem to have forgotten 02 in that characterization, but they did a good job encapsulating how they were in Adventure and shuffling that to now.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Just because Ty and Matt felt really off at the beginning.
But did it feel like they were so off in a way that wasn't explainable through what they were going through?
I feel like it was explainable and they failed.
Yeah. To explain. Honestly, I feel like looking back, I feel like Ty has faced consequences for their actions before, like the damage.
I mean, sure. Ty's obsession with cell phones was weird.
Yeah.
That's just specs.
Yeah, that's fair. When I think back, like, especially Ty Chi and Yamato in that first chapter is definitely a sore point in that regard. But, yeah. Otherwise...
And then, if we disregard these first two movies...
I think it's just the first one.
No, just the first one.
Fine.
I mean, the weird thing is that the stage play also managed to, I think, even without that caveat, like, managed to perfectly encapsulate the characters.
Yes,
and it did. Maybe what that shows is that these aren't that complex of archetypes, and, like...
No, wait, what? Really? I would never guess. Okay, let's... Final question, since I... If we didn't explicitly address your question, it's kind of because I believe it came up naturally in other conversation. Yeah. But from definitely a listener. I can't imagine who this is from.
Yeah, who's that?
Who's that? I don't know.
Should I read it?
No.
I like their name. Someone else can read it. Okay.
On Lost in Translation, Mon, Jay mentioned how he felt like Mako's conclusion made all of Tri feel like a Bleach filler arc. New character is introduced. There's an adventure. They're defeated or moved away. And everything returns back to the starting position. Did Tri feel like a filler arc to you? Yes.
No, actually.
No.
No. I mean, I also don't watch much anime with giant filler arcs. And when I do, the filler arcs feel like the rest of the show, thanks One Piece.
What about Rurouni Kenshin?
Yeah, we watched those bad filler arcs.
Oh, yeah, we sure did. Was that really filler, though? It was like just continuing in random crazy land.
It was definitely filler.
It was filler, and then the show went blind.
He wasn't filling anything. It just like was on top of the sandwich.
No, I think the last arc is a real arc.
What was the last arc?
I don't remember. Maybe it's not a real arc.
I don't think so. The last thing we watched was going back to Samurai X, which is real, but like was not. I don't consider that part of anyway. because they didn't return back to the starting position for me. Yes, Odaiba got rebuilt, but like when does it not? And then, no, what it felt to me was like a standalone movie, except like that's, I guess that's why I want it to be one movie that isn't 9 hours long.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I thought there was an interesting comparison just because Ashley is so familiar with Bleach and Bleach filler arcs in general, which is why someone who's not who I'm me submitted as a question. But, I agree with Ash that like saying it's everything returns back to the initial starting position is I think where it falls down, because like when you think of it purely from plot and like mechanics, it's like, okay, yes. You know, like Maki and Daigo have exited, Mako has exited, the reboot has been effectively never happened for these, they've all got their memories back. They can all digivolve to the forms they could before. But like, I feel like there's so much more to it than just the plot mechanics. Like they have grown as people. They are at different emotional points in their journey. We've seen more of them. Even if they didn't, like we saw more of them. We like had spent weeks in the life of them. And so I feel like it's not, I don't agree with the like obsession of anime fandom in general of labeling things filler in general. And so it's like, because like if you spend time with like everything is filler in the end, depending on what you care about. And but I do think it's kind of funny how it does mirror like a Bleach filler arc in that sense. Like all these characters enter, they get dealt with, they all leave, and it's kind of like it's a but I feel like it's inevitable what they had to do to bridge 02 in the epilogue without explicitly upsetting anything. So,
I mean, it's hard to say, like, it's hard to say whether it feels like a filler arc and they reverted back to the starting position without having more come after the filler arc, which is what Asher was trying to say with Rurouni Kenshin. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Is it a filler arc if there's nothing after it?
right? That, yeah, so, that's a good point, yeah.
Because, like, the thing with Bleach is that its main complaint, even with non-filler arcs, is that it doesn't feel like those characters really grow after the first arc. The first real arc. We just complained about how, you know, these characters feel real, like a person understood them from Adventure, but then ignored 02. So it's like, okay, well, I would need to know, like, what they're going to do with these characters after this arc to be like, did they just revert back? I don't know. Probably. But, like...
yeah, I feel like the franchises that typically have very clear, explicit filler arcs usually aren't the ones where most of the fans are in it for the emotional characterization. You know what I mean? Like when Bleach has explicitly demarcated. Oh no! I'm saying I'm labeling it Bleach. I'm saying like One Piece.
Okay.
Doesn't really follow that.
One Piece is absolutely about the emotional characters.
But like Bleach,
One Piece is the exception, not the rule.
okay.
But the thing with Bleach filler arcs is that like you introduce all these characters and like Ichigo has on this like highest stakes emotional journey, like the highest stakes thing he's ever been on, like his biggest threat in the world, and then threat is defeated and then never brought up again. It didn't, like, it's like it never exists in the first place is what it feels like. And I just can't imagine a world where like what we see after this treats this material like that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we don't see, so it doesn't, it's all hypothetical, but like the stuff that happened in these movies feels like the kind of stuff that would leave an impression on them, you know? Mm. And we even get that explicitly confirmed with Taichi being inspired to become a diplomat because of his interactions with Daigo and Daigo's last homework assignment to him or whatever. So,
I mean, yes, yeah. On a character basis, it definitely feels like it cannot be a filler arc. From a, like, introducing a bunch of crap and then just immediately writing it out of the rest of the story, definitely feels like a filler.
Yeah.
I guess we're happy they've left open the possibility that something can happen with her in the future, but...
Yeah, see, I'm interested to see, because, like, they don't really need to write out... Like, if they're trying to... If the goal for the series was to bridge 02 and the epilogue, they don't really need to write out the adults, right? Like, all we see is them all playing with their... Like, that one scene, right? Like, Daigo and Maki could still be around hanging out with Jenny or something, just not on screen in that one. Like, they don't need to be written out for that to bridge correctly, you know? So...
Well, but that's why it's confusing to me, because I'm like, did any of these things need to be written out? Like, does Mako need to be written out? Like, I don't know, no. But, like, they tried.
Like I said in the last episode, I feel like it's weird. I feel like Mako moving away makes it feel like less of a betrayal of the 02 kids. So, like, it feels like, it feels like less like they were saying, you are our eternal friend forever and we'll never forget you. It feels more like, you're here now and we're hanging out with you now. So, like... Yeah, that feels... If they're like, you're our eternal friend forever, we'll never forget you. It's like, where... But do you have these 02 kids? You've forgotten about them already. But if they're just hanging with her because she's there now, then cool. In the wise words of Jaden Smith, for your information, haters, all trees are time travelers. If you have any thoughts about this episode and want to let us know... If you thought Try was amazing or terrible, if you thought there were aspects of the movie we didn't touch on, the one to discuss more, you can hit us up in the comments at podiges.com/T6.1, or you can let us know your thoughts on social media. We are on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, Podiges, and you can also send emails to podiges@gmail.com, or you can reply to the With the Will thread where we post in this episode, or the R Digimon subreddit thread, or by padding time until I remember what happened in this movie.
Waiting.
Or by sticking your butt up inappropriately when no one asked for that, and we'll get the message.
We will send Drake memes to you. Huge thanks to Rayana, aka RW09, for our awesome Tai Chi X Yamato artwork we're using for Try Chapter 6, and to our prodigious Patreon supporters who help make everything we do possible. Special thanks go out to our current champion Patrimon, Diab Jomon, the infamous Tokujo on Twitter, Dizzy Dizumi at Dizzy and Lost on Twitter, Joe Keto, and Sam Kuwagamon, who's also on the Moncast, comparing Pokemon and Digimons. Our ultimate Patrimon, Emelec Monfree and David Graumon, and our mega path. No, and our mega patramon. I can't words today. Andy Lusamon, who does a comic at chamertheory.com, and I believe they are going to post the very new content soon. And from what I have seen of it, it looks very cool. So you should go check that out. And Marcus, whose series we are going back to after all this try.
Yeah, diving back into Data Squad.
If people want to follow us on the social medias and not in real life like stalkers, I am AshMcD00 on Twitter. I also tweet sometimes about shoujo things at Shoujo and Tell for my other podcast. Jeffrey, where can they find you?
I am Jeffling Jeff on Twitter.
Asher, where are you? Not really, but maybe.
I'm on Tumblr at Asher Dashery, but I may be reviving my Twitter soon.
Ooh.
Hot.
Asher 2.0.
Asher's right. Coming Twitter... back to America and is like, everything's glorious.
My Twitter is also Asher Dashery. I'm very easy to find.
As our president has taught us, everyone who comes to America needs to tweet.
God. Now you've just ensured I will not be coming back to Twitter.
Oh. Andrew, where can they find you?
They can find me at Drew Softman on Twitter.
And you can find Podigious at Podigious on many things, including the Twitters and the Tumblrs and the Facebook.
Share the podcast across the lines of division in your life. And don't share the podcast with people who only show you their butt cracks when no one asked for that.
But it's okay. You can share with people who show you their butts when they are asked.
Yes, only when they are asked.
Consensual butts are good.
Exactly.
Consensual butts are good. That's what y'all have learned on this podcast. And join us next time as we jump back into Digimon Data Squad to party with Karada.
Bye!
And remember, never stop Digivolving.
Did we show? Yeah, I think we did. We showed Ash the Drake.
Maybe. I don't remember doing that, actually.
Hold up while I pull this up live.
Official Podigious stance.
It was our official, because I still haven't posted the episode yet. Like, I have it ready to post in like after we're done with this. But the only official review we posted is this image. Ash, I'm posting it in Slack. I think everyone else has seen it.
All right. I have definitely seen it. It's my favorite Podigious tweet.
I think you probably showed me.
Oh, but... right. For the listeners, it's the Drake meme where he's pushing away the butt crack.
Yeah, I saw this.
And he's happy about Buttwar Greymon.
Buttwar Greymon!
How did we go like so long without coming on Buttwar Greymon?
Damn, we are slow.
Missed opportunities.
I need to hang up Buttwar Greymon that you got me.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he's actually posed to at least show his butt.
Yeah. Need to hang that on the wall.
Miniature arcade games as handhelds that kids apparently like for some reason.
And the NES Classic Weekly Shonen Jump Edition, which you can buy exclusively in Japan to enjoy all of your favorite crossover Shonen Jump games from the 80s on the Famicom Mini. Actually, it's called Famicom.
This has been brought to you by Viz, little corporate cog in the machine, Jeff Ruber.
Except not, because like most of the things that are on there are things that Viz didn't pick up or like picked up and didn't finish.
Yeah. Or it's just Dragon Ball.
Just do it for the Dragon Ball.
I am baffled at how many Weekly Shonen Jump crossover games there were for the NES. Like, I think there were 27 on this thing.
Okay, do we have to do the zero thing? Okay, when I would say zero, we all say bye.
I don't think I really fully processed that, like, you'd be saying Never Stop Digivolving. I don't know how I feel about that.
Shut up, Jeff. When I get to zero, we're saying bye. 3, 2,
bye. Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving.
I don't like it.
I said it pretentiously just to piss you off.
I don't like it.
Never stop being now.
Digivolve your differences.
Okay. All right. I'm stopping recording.
I don't like it. I don't like it.